Well, good morning. Good morning, Vineyard fam. How are we doing today? Oh, man, it is so great to be in the house with you, and welcome to those online as well. Man, it's just nothing like, you know, coming home, right? It's nothing like it. I love this house. I can't say that enough because I have been transformed. I wouldn't be who I am had it not been for this community. I've experienced the power of God here. I've experienced community here. I've experienced so much in this house, and I love being back and being here. And I'm excited to continue the series that you all have been in, Revived by His Wind and Word. And I love the fact that as a church community, you all have been journeying through the one-year Bible together. I think that is so special. And I believe the Holy Spirit has given me a very specific assignment today, and I am excited about it. I want to dive into a topic that I could not shake as I read the reading for this week. So I want to jump right into the Bible, and I want you to go with me to Acts 16. So if you have your Bible, if you have your Bible apps, it'll also be on the screen as well. And as you go there, it's a little bit of context. You know, they say without context, you get conned. So the book of Acts is a shorthand for the Acts of the Apostles, but we could actually call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the entire book is about the work and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit empowered everyday people to do supernatural things, how the Holy Spirit empowered normal, everyday people to do signs and wonders, to plant Jesus communities, to share the gospel. And that is the location of the story that we are going to read together. Would you go with me to verse 16? We have an interesting story to read. This is what it says. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met there by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fasten their feet with the stocks. Now we enter this scene as the author, Luke, he's telling us and sharing about an experience from what is known as Paul's second missionary journey, where Paul sets a enslaved woman free from a spirit that was oppressing her to fortune tell. But that's where things go left. Things go left for Paul. And that's really interesting to me because Paul was doing what he was supposed to do. Paul was doing the very thing that the Spirit told him to do. And that's what I want to wrestle with this morning. I want to wrestle with that idea for a little bit. And I want to talk to you from the subject of in rhythm with the Spirit. Would you all pray with me? Holy Spirit, we just say thank you. We say thank you for your presence. We say thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus, we say thank you for your sacrifice. We welcome you in this place. We know that you're already here, but we say, come, Holy Spirit. we invite you to have your way in this place. Would you open our hearts? Would you open our eyes? God, I pray that you would dwell amongst us and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I grew up, friends, in a family where rhythm was not an option. It was an expectation, okay? It just was. Certain songs would just come on and you were just expected to know what to do. Like, words did not have to be said. It wasn't something that was taught in a class. It was just like you just caught it, right, from being around. For example, the cha-cha slide, okay? We all know the cha-cha slide, right? I bet you know the cha-cha slide probably from, you know, weddings, right? But a little known fact about the cha-cha slide, at least I didn't know this for a while, right? The cha-cha slide started in Chicago, which makes a lot of sense because growing up, it was normal to be at a family gathering or a church gathering, and then to all of a sudden here, it's time to get funky, 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 funky. Clap, 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 clap your hands, right? And then nobody says anything. Everybody just hops up, and then you get into position, and you get in line, and you are just expected to know what to do. And, you know, if you were offbeat a little bit, they would let you know. They would let you know. Don't worry about that. They'll let you know. Often not with words. It'd just be a little subtle look of shame. Like, you know, maybe a little shoulder bump. Like, hey, get it together. You're a step behind. And very, very often I was the one who was getting that subtle look of shame because God has blessed me with many talents, but rhythm and dance, I don't know what happened there. That's something I've asked the Lord about, but I have learned how to fake it till I make it, okay? I've learned how to do enough to make it look like I have rhythm, okay? And I know what my range is. I stay in my lane, you know what I'm saying? I know what songs are my speed. I know what's not my speed. I know how, you know, to make it look like I know what I'm doing. And as a parent now of two, I have two parental responsibilities, friends. I want my kids to, one, know Jesus, okay? And two, have rhythm. those are two things that are very important to me. Why? Because rhythm isn't optional. It's an expectation. And when we think about rhythm, when we think about it, it's not just limited to music. Rhythm is a concept that refers to pattern. It refers to change. It refers to things that repeat in an interval, right? It's how something happens over time. Rhythm means movement. We see rhythm in almost every aspect of life, right? We breathe in rhythm. When we communicate, we talk and then we listen. It happens in rhythm. Our seasons happen in rhythm, winter, spring, summer, fall. So if rhythm exists in our natural world, then it's reasonable to expect for rhythm to exist in the spiritual world and in our relationship with Jesus. But the question I want to wrestle with is, well, what does it look like to live in rhythm with the Spirit? When I say rhythm with the Spirit, I mean experiencing his presence and direction in every setting. What is the evidence of a life in step with Jesus? Does it mean that when you pray, you get everything that you pray for? To live in rhythm with the Spirit, does it mean that you are guaranteed success in every career endeavor? Living in rhythm with the Spirit, does it mean that you will always have peace in your life? Does living in rhythm with the Spirit mean that you will always have unity with your family and in your family? You know, maybe it's just me, but there can be a narrative that exists that says the closer I am to Christ, then the further crisis should be for me. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but you know, if Jesus is moving in my life, then it shouldn't be very messy in my life. See, if we think about it, I believe sometimes we can equate his movement with our circumstances being easy or light, and the lack of ease with the lack of his movement. To be in rhythm with him or to be revived by his spirit means that we get to escape certain circumstances. But our story in Acts 16 gives us a different picture of what rhythm with the spirit looks like. So if we go earlier in the chapter in Acts 16, Paul and his team, they are experiencing supernatural direction and power from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is literally closing doors of the cities that they are not to go into. And then the Holy Spirit gives Paul a vision of where to go next. And many people get baptized. Many people give their life to Christ. They are experiencing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then when we come to our text in 16 to 24, Paul and his team are in the Roman colony of Philippi, where verse 16 tells us that they meet this enslaved woman who is known as a fortune teller because she has what is called a spirit of divination. Or the literal meaning of that word is she has a python spirit, which is connected to Greek mythology and the belief that this spirit was connected to the Greek prophetic gift. So she has this gift of prophecy, if you will. And what's important, though, to think about and to remember is that this is where the Holy Spirit told them to go. This is where they were supposed to be. They are walking in obedience. They are doing what the Spirit told them to do. Then Paul, he gets irritated because this girl is following them around and she's talking and he can tell this is off. So he casts this spirit out. And verse 19 says she loses her power immediately and an uproar happens in the city. Not just because this was a spiritual act, but Paul was also disturbing the economy of the city. Paul was also disturbing the social norms of the city with the power of the Holy Spirit. So verse 22 to 24 tells us that Paul and Silas, they are beaten and they are imprisoned in the darkest part of the prison. So in the midst of an outpouring, they experience opposition. I want you to notice the rhythm. Notice the rhythm. They are experiencing a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They are responding to the Spirit with obedience. Their obedience leads to opposition. Outpouring, obedience, opposition. This is the rhythm that we see in Acts 16. And actually, we see this rhythm all throughout the book of Acts. But I want you to notice the connection between them. I believe we have a graph of this connection as well. You'll notice that the arrows are pointing in both directions because all three of these O's, they're not purely linear. They're not happening just in one direction. All three of these O's have a specific heart posture or response that we can take, that we can give. But I want to specifically zoom in on opposition for a moment, because I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, outpouring, I'm here for it. More, Lord, come. I'm here for it. I expect that. And, you know, I'm even like, yes, Lord, obedience. This makes sense. I get that. The spiritual, like the rhythm that for me, I don't know. For me, the one that I often want to try to ignore, the one that I want to try to act like it doesn't exist, that it's not there, is the experience of opposition or spiritual warfare. I should expect that, but I often want to ignore that. Because when we look at our text, when we look at this passage, what this text is showing us is that the outpouring of the Spirit's power and presence, and when we're pursuing a life of obedience, we're not exempt from opposition, but often it invites it. You know, it looks like this. You set out to obey the Spirit by breaking generational cycles in your family, like addiction, like anger, like poverty, like unforgiveness, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in your family. It looks like you set out to obey the Spirit by living a life of radical generosity, and then suddenly you lose your job. It looks like you set out to obey the Spirit in one area of your life, and then suddenly another area, a different area, starts to get attacked. Why? Why? Well, the text is clear. It says, it essentially tells us that when we are living in rhythm with the Spirit, your life starts to disrupt things. Your life becomes disruptive. Your life starts to affect change. And the enemy of our faith, Satan, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. So like Paul and Silas, he sends a prison to lock up your passion. Sends a prison to lock away your trust, to lock away your hope, to lock away your focus with the hope of hopefully bringing discouragement, hopefully bringing disappointment, hopefully bringing you to a place where you lose faith and live a less disruptive life, where you live a less surrendered life, where you take your foot off the gas just a little bit, where you start to wonder, well, you know what? Man, if I got to deal with all this, is it worth it? Is it even worth it? See, back in February, I had the privilege of being here for More Love, More Power myself. It was so good. And at one of the workshops, Mike Falar and Mike Yoder, I guess Eminem, they prayed for me, and I had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. It was a powerful moment with the Holy Spirit. I'm weeping like a baby. The other workshop had started. I'm still on the floor. I was physically trembling. My body was on fire, and all I could remember is feeling this deep awareness of how Jesus loved me. I remember feeling this awareness of like, man, the way that Jesus sees me and the way that I see myself is so different, and all I'm experiencing is what he thinks, what he feels, what he has called me to, what he's invited me into. It was powerful, and I felt so clear. Got up, I felt so light. And I left that moment feeling revived. And I still feel that today. And this experience, it came almost a year into Soul City, walking in one of our vision statements of Holy Spirit encounters will be expected when we gather. There's a vision that our executive team, that we said, Holy Spirit encounters will be expected when we gather. And we are seeing an outpouring of the Spirit in our church in ways that has been unprecedented in the history of our church. Last year, we saw 231 people say yes to Jesus through baptism alone. Yes, it was powerful. This year, we have seen 138 people so far say yes to Jesus through baptism alone. It is so powerful to see how God is moving. And in May, we had a midweek Holy Spirit night, and just under 500 hungry people came out in the middle of the week to encounter the Holy Spirit. There were stories of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, encountering the Holy Spirit's presence for the first time in their life, being healed, receiving prophetic words of direction and encouragement. I could tell you stories about what God has been doing in Alpha over this last year, that how our Alpha attendance has almost doubled in this last year because people are sharing invitations with their friends and families to people that they want to see encounter Jesus. But in the midst of all of this outpouring, I could also tell you stories of opposition too. Tell you stories of leadership challenges that I didn't see coming. Things that I have experienced that I did not see coming as a leader. Our team, their personal lives being attacked with sickness, with division and unexpected deaths in the family. And my family hasn't been exempt to this at all. And I know that it's no coincidence that right when we said we are expecting more, that the opposition came. This is not a coincidence. Now, I don't want you to hear me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that everything that is negative that happens in our life is the enemy, right? I don't believe that at all. You know, sometimes it's just normal life circumstances. Sometimes it's just normal life stuff. Sometimes the challenging situations in our life result from decisions that we made or didn't make. But other times it is spiritual opposition or warfare that's meant to deter us away from what the Spirit is doing in and through us. So in those moments, what do we do? How should we respond? If we keep on reading in the story, we see a vision of how to respond when we are experiencing opposition. This is what verse 25 and 26 tells us. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. In the midnight hour, friends, in the midnight hour, as Paul and Silas are sitting wounded and shackled, they begin to sing and pray to God. But this is a different kind of praying and singing. The original language for praying and singing, it actually connotes this idea of celebration, praise, thanks. So while they are sitting shackled, bruised in darkness, they are celebrating, they are thanking God, they are shackled and singing praises. And this challenges me. This challenges me because I don't know about you, it's easy for me to praise God when the blessings are flowing. Man, I'm like, thank you, God. This is great. Thank you for this new thing you blessed me with. It's easy to praise God, to thank God when the circumstances of our life are exactly what we want them to be. It's easy to praise God when my body's healthy. Man, it's easy to say, thank you, God, for a healthy body. It's easy to praise God when the job is going well. It's easy to praise God when we're experiencing one breakthrough after the other. But what we see in the text is that Paul and Silas are offering a sacrifice of praise to God. And all throughout the Bible, there's a clear theme of God's presence being drawn to sacrifice. They are praising when everyone else is asleep. They are praising at the time when the enemy expected them to be hopeless because they were in prison, because they were in shackles, they were in bondage. They are offering God a praise that cost them something. And I want to be clear, Paul and Silas weren't superheroes. They, you know, this isn't like Batman or Superman and, you know, Black Panther. They were normal human beings. That means they experienced every emotion that you experience, that I experience. They experienced joy, sadness, love, peace, anger, fear, all of the things that we would experience. I imagine that they experienced it. I imagine at some point in this painful situation that because they're human, they ask the question that all humans ask when we experience suffering. It's a fundamental question we all ask at some point. Why? Why? I think it's fair to assume that Paul and Silas at some point said, why God? Like, I thought we was your boys. Like, I tried to help that girl. Like, I mean, why God? But what the text shows us that if that were true, if that's possible, what we know from the text is that they didn't stay there. See, they didn't stay at why God. They moved to worthy God. They didn't stay at why God. They moved to worthy God. In prison, they offered praise. And as they praised, as they moved to worthy God, the prison shook and the prison doors opened and the shackles fell off and everyone in the prison experienced breakthrough because of their sacrifice of praise. And let's be real, let's be honest. Maybe you right now are in your own midnight moment, right now. Maybe you right now are in a moment similar to Paul and Silas. Maybe you've been pressing in to know Jesus more. Maybe you have been trying to take Jesus at his word, step into deeper surrender with him, take new risk in your relationship with him. And then right after that, a job opportunity falls through. Your family comes under attack. A random diagnosis comes out of nowhere. The doors that you've been asking to be opened continue to be closed. Well, can I encourage you with this, friends? That the presence of opposition does not mean the absence of an outpouring. The presence of opposition does not mean that there is an absence of outpouring in your life. It actually could be the evidence that you are living a disruptive life, that you are living in rhythm with the Spirit. It could be the evidence that you are living the sort of life that is advancing the kingdom of God and disturbing the enemy's kingdom. Perhaps it is pointing to that fact. Maybe the enemy is trying to get you to say, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Well, I'm here to tell you, all the way from Chicago, staying in rhythm with the Spirit is worth it. Yes. Staying in rhythm in any season, it is worth it. Because the enemy would love for you to think that prison is permanent. Would love for you to think that your pain is permanent, that the opposition will always last. But what Acts 16 shows us is that in the opposition, in those moments, it will break under the power of God. Yes. It has to break under the power of God. And this is a specific word for some of you today, that today is the day of liberation. I felt that specifically. Today is the day of liberation. The opposition is breaking today, and freedom is here today. Freedom is here for you today. And as we transition into worship, I want you to remember that being in rhythm with the Spirit, it looks like experiencing his presence and direction in every setting. Right where you are, if you feel that you've been in a prison, his presence is there. There is freedom in this place today. And, you know, I want to encourage you as we go into worship, offer him a sacrifice of praise. Offer a sacrifice of praise right where you are, right in the middle of the uncertainty, of the pain, of whatever you may be carrying. What if you said, but God, you're still worthy. But God, you are still the one who holds time and space and the one who is bigger and better and more beautiful. Shout out to Hap. What if it was a sacrifice of praise that we could offer in worship right now? What would shake? What would shake if we offered him a sacrifice of praise? And, you know, I realize that there may be some here today that, you know, as you walked in today, you would say, you've been around Jesus. You know, you've known about Jesus. You've been around him. Like, Jesus is cool. That's great. But maybe you would say you haven't surrendered to Jesus. And maybe you walked in here today and you did not plan to surrender to Jesus. You did not plan to give a yes to Jesus. But God planned it. And he's just letting you know about it right now. He's filling you in. Because maybe you have a longing. You have a longing that you have been searching to satisfy, and it doesn't seem to satisfy. A deep longing, no matter what you do, is still there. And what I have found in my life is that only Jesus satisfies my deepest longings. Only Jesus satisfies my deepest longing. And the good news, friend, is that Jesus lived the life that you could not live, that I could not live. Then Jesus died the death that really I should have died, that really you deserved, and said, I'm going to step in and take your place, and I'm going to rise from the dead with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then give you access to the same Holy Spirit. And the entire book of Acts is just a story of people who have said yes to this resurrected Jesus, who have said yes to this Jesus who gives new life, and they're doing life with the Spirit. And I know that you all have been in an outpouring of baptism. I see the tank right behind me. It's been an outpouring of surrender to Jesus, of a sobering moment where we say, like, you know what? I'm done trying it my way. I want to do it your way, Jesus. So what I want to do is, as we enter into worship, as we offer sacrifices of praise, knowing that the presence of God has always been attracted to sacrifice, I also want to encourage you that if you have not put your trust in Jesus, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day, friend. If you have not been baptized, which is just a moment where you get to physically display this transformation that spiritually takes place, where when you say yes to Jesus, the old you is dead. It's no longer who you are. You don't identify with the old creation. You don't identify with the past mistakes. You don't identify with who you used to be. And when you come out of the water, it signifies the new creation reality, the new life that you step into, the fresh start that you get to experience. And if you have not been able to step into the waters of baptism, today is the day. Today is the day, friend. We have our discernment team. They will be down here in the corner. During worship, if your heart is beating a little fast and you're trying to ignore me, I want you to come down to our discernment team over here in the corner during worship. We want to baptize you. We want to welcome you into this broader family of believers who's walking in rhythm with the Spirit. Okay, I want to invite you to stand and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, I feel your presence right now. Whew. More Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you so much for the fact that in every rhythm you are with us. In every rhythm you are with us. I thank you, God, for your presence that is bubbling up on the inside of everyone here. God, I particularly lift up those who may feel a prompting to say, I want the satisfaction that truly lasts forever. I want to say yes to Jesus. I pray for those folks right now. God, we pray that you would empower us to live in rhythm with you and surrendered to you. In Jesus' name, amen.